Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and this special message titled Baptism for Believers. This message was taught the very day that we baptized our sister Michelle and is a very important message for professing Christians who have not been immersed in water in obedience to the commandment of Jesus Christ. And now our message, Baptism for Believers. We titled the message, Baptism for Believers. And we've had baptisms in, we counted four different places. And you have, down here is little Mariah. Baptized her. Yeah, that's Mariah. Hadn't changed a bit, has she? And right here is Tori. And right here is Annie. But I also got a nice little photo here of Annie before she went under. Because she held her nose like that for I don't know how long. She was Then this is Lee down here. And I'm sorry, these were at Delaware. Delaware Lake. And then Mariah's was at Allen Creek. This is also at Allen Creek at a different time, but that's Kayla being baptized. And I was joking, but I'm not really. I'm still holding her down. So that's why I wanted to use that picture. But Matthew 28, verse 19 is where Jesus commands baptism. I want you to read that with me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus commands this. So it's not an option. It's a commandment that you be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And where we're going to look at where you get in trouble is where people say, well, it's a commandment, then that means you must have to do that to be saved. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's in any way, shape, or form attached to or connected to salvation. But it is a commandment. Jesus commands us to do a lot of things. It doesn't mean that it's connected to your salvation. But it is a commandment that if you want to follow the Lord, you're going to do. Acts 2:41, and these are kind of in order, so I'm going to give you a second to turn over there. We're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 2:41, the reason why we don't teach that you are baptized in order to be saved, but baptized because you are saved, is because the Bible says, believe and you're saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16 on the wall. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're saved by faith in the gospel. That saves you. And then, as a believer, this is what's next. Read that with me. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, I just want to mention this, that there are some who will teach, well, there's a point in the book of Acts where they stopped baptizing, and we don't believe baptisms for the church today, and they'll teach that that was only for the book of Acts. I don't know if you've heard that or not. And I don't believe that. I don't teach that, because we're going to see that there were baptisms after the book of Acts. Baptism was going on after, and someone will put it at Acts 7, others Acts 15, where there were baptisms after. After Acts 7, there were baptisms after Acts 15. So that's why we don't teach that. But if you were a believer, you were baptized. Mm-hmm. Now, the baptism isn't what saves your soul, but it is salvific. We're going to see in a minute. It is salvific in a sense, but not your soul. We'll come to that in a minute. But this is why we don't baptize infants. An infant can't be a believer. It says that you receive the word, then you're baptized. We could take Chloe. I think she left the room for a minute. We could take Chloe and bring her up here and ask her for a profession of faith, and you would get what we got earlier. Right? So why would you baptize the little baby who can't explain what she believes. And that's why infant baptism, let me tell you, infant baptism didn't exist until the time of Constantine and his pagan idolatry and everything is what corrupted the church, and Roman Catholicism still deals with a lot of that. Yeah.
It's not by believing on Jesus alone that saves you, but that baptism saves you.
And the first thing, though, is to understand a belief.
That's right.
Belief is necessary for even legitimate baptism, let alone, you know, what we talk about. We'll talk about that in a minute. You had to believe in order to be baptized, and that's why we don't do that. We don't baptize, and that's another thing we'll get to in a minute. You look, they just pour a little water over the baby's head. I've actually been told that there are some who actually do baptize the babies. They're just like, okay, ready? And the baby comes up. I mean, that might be some fun. I'm not saying that wouldn't be fun, but... Boy, we'd have standing room only if we were doing that up here, wouldn't we? All right, all the babies. That's cruel. I wouldn't even do that. I'm kidding. Some of you are going to have nightmares after that. Turn over a few more pages to Acts chapter 8. So we'll keep going. I keep seeing this thing of baptism, even at, this is after Acts 7. Acts chapter 8, in verses 36 and 37. And again, we're emphasizing that baptism is for believers. And that's why it can't be for babies. And that's why you're not saved by being baptized. Acts 8, 36 and 37. Read that with me. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Now look close at that. He says that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're a candidate. The only question then is, are you willing? Because we ain't forcing anybody. As much as I'd like to drive a couple of you into the water and hold you under for a good long while, it's voluntary. But it should be automatic. It just should be something I want to do. But I'll grant you this, it's not taught right. So there's a lot of people who don't, you know, have that oomph to go through with it because they don't hear it taught right. But once you see the word, what do you have? You have a eunuch from Ethiopia who is a believer and he knows he needs to be baptized. And so Philip there says, if you believe, and he gives the perfect confession. What do you believe, Philip? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, that has content to it. That means, then the eunuch and Philip understood that that meant that Jesus came as God in flesh, died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried and rose again. Today, we have to be very careful because you'll get people call Jesus the Son of God, but they don't mean what the Bible means anymore. They'll say, well, He was the offspring of Elohim and He's the brother of Lucifer who's come down to this earth. That's Mormonism. They'll say, well, He was actually Michael the archangel who came to earth as Jesus for a little while. That's the Jehovah's Witnesses. You have all kinds of false Jesuses out there and definitions to the word Son of God. So when someone says, I believe the Son of God today, we have to ask, well, what do you mean by that? But that's understood in this text, and that was the only prerequisite. Well, let me correct myself. There's two necessary prerequisites. You had to have water, and you had to be a believer. What do I mean? Well, that's why sprinkling and pouring isn't an option, because you have to have enough water to immerse. Now, granted, like Michelle said, if we get a bad storm, we can go in and use her bathtub. I mean, missionaries have done that for years. They just have a bathtub and everybody, you know, just climb in, sit down. He'll stand outside. Hey, that'd be good. I wouldn't even have to get wet. <You're> like, I told you about this preacher who had these waiters, you know. He'd walk in, and he went and forgot his waiters. So he made the associate pastor do the baptizing. He didn't want to run his suit. See, that's the benefit of dressing the way I do. I don't worry about it. I go thrift store to replace this thing. Amen. Yeah, another 50 cents down the tube. Found this point.
Gotcha.
Is you have to be careful when and where you choose to have baptisms. I want to mention that. There are places that can be dangerous. We mentioned Mariah when we baptized her. We were at Alum Creek, and this man drowned. He was on jet skis. Huh? Or not jet? Wait, yeah.
On a boat, and he drowned, and it turned out he was cheating on his wife. So.
Well, that's another. As the sand through the hourglass, so were the days of our lives. Yeah. Yeah, it was a sordid situation. But we're right in the middle of having a baptism, and they're bringing in the police boats, and everybody, there's people screaming, and then there's a bunch of people locking arms to try to find him for a little while, and then they finally found him, and it was just, we're having a baptism over there. So we try to be real careful about where we have baptisms. I also had an experience, wasn't me, but I was attending another baptism, and they went to this place where they ended up being drunks over there screaming, yelling, and carrying on, fighting and cussing and all kinds of stuff. So you just want to be careful. I'm just putting that out there, just practical terms. You also want to be careful where you do the baptisms. And that's why I'm glad we have a nice little private creek. But I also heard about this, something similar happening here. You're out there being baptized. It says, no roughhousing. Remove your hand from the young man and step away. It was a similar situation where they were at a big lake and they were baptizing. And there were people out there, I guess, with the camera. And the lifeguard didn't know what was going on, so he blew the whistle. He's yelling at them because they're not supposed to have cameras. I guess that was one of their rules. And so I just had to bring that up because you can have kind of a disaster if you're not careful. Just being practical, you have to make sure you have the right place and you have to have plenty of water. I told Michelle I didn't know how deep this creek was, but if we had to, we'd dig a hole. Dip her down in there. So verses 38 and 39, continue reading with me. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now look at that. He come up out of the water. Now, people play games with that, but it is clear that he went down into the water and back up out of the water. Okay, it's not talking about them walking up out of the water. What sense would it make for them to walk down into the water and then to pour a cup of water on him or sprinkle him and then to walk up out of the water? Philip would have said, here, you want to be baptized? And just whatever. Pour his canteen on his head or something. They went down in and come up out of the water. Now, there are a lot of people who want to say, well, that's no big deal. Sprinkle, pour, immersion. Why do Christians want to fight over that? My point is this. If it's that clear, I'll guarantee you the people who sprinkle and pour are going to not only dismiss this, they're going to dismiss a lot of other things in the Bible. You see, when you have a flippant attitude about something and it's clear in the Bible, you're like, take it or leave it. Yeah, well, then you're going to start taking and leaving all these other things. Now, we don't condemn people to hell if they don't immerse. You're saved by believing the gospel. But we do say, there's just something wrong with that attitude. If the Bible says it, that settles it. Amen?
Amen.
And that's why we immerse. There is no teaching of or a biblical example of sprinkling or pouring. You look all the way through the New Testament, there's no example. I show this picture because it's one of the few paintings of Jesus being baptized where it looks like they're immersing him. Most of the paintings of Jesus are done with John the Baptist, just happened to have a little saucer on him, pouring it over somebody's head. Listen, John the Baptist was a good Jew. When you, he didn't invent baptism. John the Baptist was following the ritual of the mikvah, where before you went into the temple, you were immersed in water. And you come up out of the water, and then you went in, and you were then ceremonially clean and fit for the temple. That's what almost all the paintings and drawings you'll see Jesus, they're pouring, and the movies they've made. You'll see the movies about Jesus they've made. He's being having water poured on him. Immersion into and out of the water is the only biblical mode of baptism. That's why I'm just trying to give you a heads up. If you don't want to be immersed, you need to find one of those guys down the road who will sprinkle and pour on you. Because the only baptism that I'll perform is immersion. Why? Not just because the Bible seems to clearly teach it, but it's a picture of something. Amen. Romans chapter 6. We've been Matthew, been Acts. Now turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This is after the book of Acts. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Read that with me. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness and life. That is a picture of your new life. You have been buried with Him by baptism into death. And then when we raise you up out of the water, that is signifying, picturing your new life. It's like death and brought to life. And that's the picture that you have in baptism. It's what we could call a type or a shadow of the gospel message. We like to refer to it this way. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward change. Your change is inward. You've been born again. But baptism gives you the ability to show that outwardly. And Brother Lee, come up out of there ready for a new life. Amen? That was exciting. I'm glad we got pictures and we have actually took videos. And I think we'll be able to video the baptism, because there are people who can't make it to your baptism, or people you meet even later. And you can show them a picture or a video of your baptism, and it opens the door for a witness for you to share the gospel. That's the whole purpose of it anyway. Now, people have been doing that even without pictures and videos for years. They say, yeah, I was baptized, and they'll tell you the story, and then that leads into the ability to share the gospel. Now, look in verse 3, Romans 6, verse 3. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? See, this was a practice of the New Testament church of immersing and bringing up out of the water as a picture of the new birth. And it was in response to your being saved. You're not baptized in order to become saved. You're baptized because you are saved. Mark chapter 16. And this is one of the texts that is used to teach that baptism saves you. And we're going to look at another one in a minute. And the last 12 verses, they rip out of most of the new Bibles. So if you don't have a King James Bible, don't be surprised if those verses have been ripped out. But in Mark chapter 16... He says in verse, let's start in verse 15. Read that with me. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, based on those last few words, people will say, well, then you need to be baptized in order to be saved. That's not what it says. Now, look closely at what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Because if you believe, then the Scripture itself takes for granted that you'll be baptized. If you believe, you will be baptized if you have the opportunity. Now, you know, the thief on the cross is an example of someone who didn't have an opportunity. Deathbed conversions happen. People in wars. There's stories of the Titanic. If you watch the movie Titanic, you saw fiction. If you want to see the real story of the Titanic, read the book that was put out back when it happened. And I don't have the name of it, but you can find it online. And it will tell you stories of people who were saved as the ship was going down, professing faith in the gospel. And I guess you could say they were baptized. They went underwater.
Stayed there.
But they stayed there. That's right. There are plenty of examples in times of war where people have been saved. They go right out that day and are killed in battle. Or they're on a ship or something. And look what it says closely. It then says, "But he that believeth not and is not baptized..."
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say that. You see, it says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." The baptism is a result of you believing and being saved. But it's the belief. The belief is what dictates whether or not you're saved or damned. And that's the very important thing is to understand is that Scripture with Scripture. If you read a verse over here and you've understood it or twisted it in such a way that it contradicts other Scriptures, then the problem is the way you're reading it. Scripture does not contradict. We come up with the problem. We're the problem, not the Bible. So be very careful anytime you do that with the Scripture. Now here's another passage. If you want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 is another place where people will say, well, it says baptism saves you. And yes, you have to look at the context. Do you understand that when the Bible says saves, it doesn't always mean your soul? It's the same thing with justified. The book of James, he talks about justification, and he's not talking about your soul. He's talking about your justification before men. There's justification before God. There's justification before men. In Acts, we talked about this, I think, last week. Peter preached, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Now, he wasn't talking about their soul, because you can't save your own soul. He was talking about saving your flesh, saving your person, saving your testimony, saving you in a sense of saving you from judgment in this life. That's the same thing Peter, who also wrote this, is saying in the beginning of verse 18. He says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." That's the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection. "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, I don't have time to go into detail about that, but he's talking about those who are in what we call Hades, hell, while there was paradise, both in the middle of the earth, the Bible says. And there was a great gulf between the two. And he went into the paradise side and basically took them to heaven. He went to the side that's called hell or Hades, and he preached the truth to them, which was the gospel of condemnation, because they had not believed and followed God in before his death, burial, and resurrection. That's what that's referring to. "He also went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah," for example, "while the ark was preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water." Now let me ask you a question. Were their souls saved when they were in the ark? No, they were saved physically, personally. "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, But the, watch this, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, you'll hear people say, go get baptized and wash your sins away. That's blasphemous. That's error. Revelation chapter 1 says there's only one way for your sins to be washed away, and that's in the blood of the Lamb, not by water. You're not washing sins away in baptism, but you, it is an answer of a good conscience. Why? You've already been saved. You've believed the gospel. Now that you're saved, an answer or response is for you to be baptized and to tell the world, I believe. And that's what baptism is all about.
This is a figure, too. It's one of those places where, you know, they take the figure
and try to make it literal.
The fact. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The literal fact.
That's right. And they ignore the previous verse, which tells you what the figure is representing.
Right.
So baptism saves us in the sense of confirming our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you come up out of that water, you're saying, I believe in the resurrection and the life. I believe that Jesus, who resurrected Himself, will resurrect this body upon my death. I will be resurrected at the rapture, and I will put on a glorified body.
Amen.
And that's the answer of a good conscience. Your conscience is clear, and you are confident in the Word of God. And that's what you're telling the world. And that's when you say baptism is salvific in the same sense as confession is. You're not saved by just confessing Jesus is Lord. But you confess Jesus is Lord because you're saved. That's why Romans 10, I got a typo there. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's when salvation takes place. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, you're confessing that you're saved. The belief is what saved you. And then when you confess the Lord Jesus, you're confessing salvation. You're saying, I'm a believer. And that's confession unto salvation. And that's the same way baptism works. And so there's the question based on the statement, believers want to be baptized. Now, I tell you, I believe that it's by immersion. Believers want to be baptized by immersion. If you've been sprinkled or poured, you have not been baptized. Because the word, look it up, it means immersed. So if you've been sprinkled or poured, then you should be baptized. Because believers want to be baptized. It's a contradiction in terms to say, I'm a believer and I don't want to be baptized. But everybody in this room now, you've heard it. And you don't have to be baptized today, but I will baptize you if you want to be. But you should, now that you've seen what God says on this, you should pray. And there's really the only thing for you to pray about is, Lord, help me to be obedient. That's the only prayer.
He won't make you obedient.
Amen. Why? Because He said so. Don't ask me to explain, except the fact that the Bible says so. God commanded, Jesus' commandment, and John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Keep my commandments.
Amen. To visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.